to call this meeting to order. The time is 7:04 p.m. The purpose of the agenda of the meeting to, we do roll call. Joe, please.
Ms. Faulkner?
Here.
Mr. Antonetz?
Here.
Ms. Patrick?
Here.
Mr. Preeby?
Here.
Ms. Rudler?
Here.
Mr. Lett?
Here.
So the purpose of this meeting this evening is a special meeting. We only have one item on the agenda. And it is incorporating the 2016 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan into the zoning resolution discussion. So is there anybody in the public wish to speak? Stand up and be sworn in, please. Anybody else? Just in case. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay. So we don't have a report from Joe. We get to write the public comment. Or discussion from the board.
Maybe discussion from the board. I think you were absent the last meeting, if you don't mind. Mr. Vice Chair, just to summarize where we are. At the last meeting, we had a quorum, but not enough of the regular voting members to take up the business of how to incorporate, in particular, the density standards from the comprehensive plan into the zoning resolution. We didn't have a document to work from, so at that meeting, I requested that Joe Schaefer prepare the draft that he circulated to all of us last week, comprising a new Article 5A to slip inside the existing zoning resolution. That would take the content of the density recommendations from Chapter 4 of the Comprehensive Plan and lay them out as a separate article to be included in the zoning resolution. We agreed we would meet again at this particular time, and we would review that text, make sure we were comfortable with it, and to the extent that we were, combine it with the signs amendment language we previously looked at, and prepare that for initiation for review by the Board of Trustees. So, Joe, any comment on that?
Not to start with. If you'd like, I can just run through what I had put together, just for the record. So, as mentioned, I was asked to draft some language that would incorporate portions of Chapter 4 of the Comprehensive Plan into the zoning resolution. I was given some directive to sort of omit or leave out any sort of non-factual statements or statements that just aren't fitting for the zoning resolution. So I've gone ahead and done that. The first change I made was in the actual Article 1, because Article 1 in the interpretation section does have language that speaks to the comprehensive plan, and this is the statement I think we found is providing us some issues and some problems based on some of the opinions and some of the stuff we've heard. So I've gone ahead and struck that last sentence. No further development shall be approved unless it is in conformance with the Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan in effect at the time. And I've gone ahead, and obviously we'll see in Article 5A where that language is being brought in a separate location, thus, I believe, sort of eliminating the need for that specific statement.
I think the only, if we can take them one at a time, because that's
sure.
Kind of a big first one, and then Article 5A doesn't give me any particular heartburn. I think it's exactly what we discussed with some additional language. There are other things in the comprehensive plan besides density. So while we do talk in Article 5A about including the specific density, actually establishing the districts and the boundaries inside of the zoning resolution, I would propose to leave this language. And the reason I would propose is there are other things about the comprehensive plan that we rely on, other things about where we're going directionally and other things. I understand we can look at that as a document separately, but I actually believe rather than a problem, this is the statement that makes it clear we intended to include what's in the comprehensive plan inside the zoning resolution. And so in the absence of a full review of every conceivable thing in the comprehensive plan, and instead what we've done, which is really a density review, I would leave this provision intact. That's just my 2 cents about it.
Anybody else on the board?
I'll proceed if there's no...
We can circle back around to that. That's fine. We'll have to make a decision about whether it's in or out before we move on to
Mr. Left.
So, why did you
Why did you want to strike it?
Because we were discussing the density of the comprehensive plan items in Article 5A, and it would be consistent with the recommendation DCRPC sent out several years ago in a letter saying they thought it would be best for communities to soften that language. Now, we could, you know, instead of deleting, we could soften it, but they advocated softening it. But if, you know, the commission desires to leave it in, then...
Position. So, have we had any perspective from the prosecutor's office?
They have seen this language. I was going to get to that, but okay. I wanted to sort of run through this first before I talked in sort of generalities about...
Why don't we take up that issue now? Because we're all focused on it at the moment. We're going to have to decide whether we include this or strike it before we get to Article 5.
Well, my discussion was about the amendment as a whole, but I'm happy to speak to that issue.
Let's go ahead and do that if you don't mind.
I was hoping we'd be able to get something written or from Mr. King, but I don't think he's able to get something together in time. I know he's got a lot of other things on his plate. So I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he did express in a general manner some concerns or reservations about the current path we're on with this amendment. I don't want to, since I'm not the attorney, I don't really want to speak for him, but I can tell you he was concerned about some equal protection issues, non-uniformity of regulations throughout a single zoning district, which the ORC discusses that zoning districts have to be uniform in how they treat parcels throughout the district. So there was just some general concerns that he thought this was maybe not the best track to go down or not the best method to achieve what it is the commission's trying to achieve and we're trying to achieve here. He did suggest an alternative path for me that would involve zoning resolution amendment text, but he thought would be potentially safer and with fewer, I guess for lack of a better term,
landmines,
there you go. I don't know if I want to say landmines, that's sort of a strong word, but yes. Fewer potentials for, people taking issue, I guess. So what he advised was if this was the goal, and he conferred even with other attorneys at the prosecutor's office about this to see how it had been handled in other communities, he advised that if we wanted to go ahead and incorporate some of these densities, that we utilize an overlay type of system zoning instead of just adding this article. So in essence, what you would do is, and I've actually spent Friday and Monday today drafting up what that language would look like, that amendment would look like. So in essence, what it would do, it would delete the PRRCD and the PRD5 as we currently know them and replace them with overlay districts, which would basically be an overlay district for, in essence, what is Planning Area 4. It wouldn't have that name in the zoning resolution, but it's in essence an overlay district for Planning Area 4, and similarly for Planning Area 5, and incorporate the densities from the comprehensive plan into those overlay areas. As currently written, they're sort of like the cloud type of overlays, where once we adopted them, that would be the rezoning. So if anyone wanted to come in and do a development, all they would need to do is submit a final development plan. I understand how that could potentially cause some heartburn with sort of eliminating the two-step process for these residential developments. So I could do some further research on that matter to see, could we still institute this overlay system but still utilize the rezoning process so we don't get away from the two-step review and approval process. So like I said, I have that text drafted up here for you this evening. Obviously, you would need time to read it, digest it, understand it compared to what we currently have written. The prosecutor's office has not seen what I've written because I honestly wrapped it up this afternoon after having the phone conversation with them late Friday morning last week. But they did think that, generally speaking, this was a safer route to go down to achieve the goals that we're trying to achieve and eliminate some of the legal concerns, I would say, that were raised during the phone call I had. So I know that sort of...
Yeah, well, I'll go on record. I find that entirely unhelpful at this stage. So on Friday, a note could have gone out to all of us telling us you want to take a different track with this. You thought there was something from the prosecutor's office. We've been asked to move on this by the trustees. I feel strongly that we're trying to make sure that what we put in our comprehensive plan, which is what we think is what we're trying to administer, belongs inside the zoning resolution. So...
I'm not the chair of the board tonight, and I'm just one member, but I will tell you, I'm interested in taking up 5A and putting it in. If you want to sort out the drafting and the other things to do a second set of resolutions after that, that's fine. You'll get a chance to complain about this in front of the trustees as well. You don't like this approach, or you don't want to do this, and that's fine. But we had an obligation to put density provisions into the zoning resolution. After having spent some time reviewing this and being ready for tonight's discussion, I'm ill-prepared to pick up another document that may or may not be what the prosecutor's office may or may not want us to do based on the words we do or do not say about them. So I don't think we have anything to work from for there from that standpoint. I'm pretty unhappy about that kind of getting sprung on us tonight. I'm not a fan of that. So that's fine. You are entitled to your staff report. You can hand it out to everybody. We can look at it. But I'm going to look at 5A and see if we can put something out to the trustees from 5A that protects the density.
And I apologize for springing on you late. I was hoping that we could get something written from the prosecutor's office that I could have provided to you so you could understand their position a little more clearly, because I'm just not comfortable speaking on their behalf. I do want to say, you know, I'm not advocating one path or the other really here on these amendments. I'm just drafting up, you know, I drafted up what the commission requested that I draft up, and then I talked to the prosecutor's office and they thought they seemed to think that we should go an alternative direction, so I thought I wanted to be prepared and write up that alternative text if the commission so desired to look at it. But certainly you're well within your right to proceed how you see fit. So me preparing that amendment, I'm not going to classify it as my recommendation or my endorsement of that particular method. I do think, you know, staff's always going to err on the side of the legal advice that we get from the prosecutor's office.
What was the revised code section you said when?
I don't have the specific number off the top of my head. Prosecutors were aware of it, though. But there's language in the text that discusses township zoning about the uniformity of requirements throughout any single district. So basically, I think the concern was if we have a density standard in the PRD in one section of the zoning resolution, by adopting 5A, you're establishing densities for PRDs that are lower than what they could get under Article 9. So now you've created a conflict and you're not treating properties under the same zoning district equally with the same standards. Okay. Where the overlay would solve that issue, because in essence you could write this in a way where people would have to utilize the overlay if they wanted to do kind of any kind of planned residential development in those specific areas. I'm not going to say it's bulletproof. Typically overlays are based off of parcels fronting on a corridor or watersheds or floodplains. I'm not aware of anyone using planning areas that they've set forth in a comprehensive plan to establish those overlays, but I could see where the prosecutor's office was certainly coming from and how the overlays would address that non-uniformity issue.
Anybody else on the board?
I want to get traction, you know, and when I look at this, I feel really good about what we have in front of us, and I think we need to keep moving forward with what we have right here. Let's act on it. Do you guys feel good about what we're seeing right here and what we want to present to the trustees? I mean, I guess we need to really start on page one. Do we want to strike that? I'm for. This is what's in front of us from an absolute standpoint, what we want to present to the trustees, and then if things go in a different direction from a prosecutor's office standpoint or what have you, so be it. But right here is our start point. Is that fair?
I disagree.
Okay.
I do. I can see where there is a conflict between this one sentence and how you reconcile the comprehensive plan, which has different density, with the allowable density in zoning. And I'm not sure that helps us make a decision when we get an application in. So having said that, I'm not comfortable with saying that this conforms with the comprehensive plan unless we're willing to make it do that, because that won't be a true statement, is that right?
If you added Article 5A for the density portion, you would have a mirror image. But there are other things in the comprehensive plan.
What about the density levels that are already in the articles for the individual districts?
There is only the single district that says to a maximum. It doesn't confer specific zoning. So, and that's where we're kind of in a jam here. Because there's this leftover chunk out of the PRD on the second bill, and Mr. Vice Chair can decide if he wants to recognize public comment. There is a section in there that says to a maximum, 1.8 without sewer, 2.2 with sewer. That has become the essence of the challenge that's been brought to us, which is, if the comprehensive plan is not anything other than a guide, if it doesn't have any real teeth, then the only section of the zoning resolution that speaks to densities at all is that section. So the question was, would we zone the densities into the zoning resolution? Now, you can do it by cloud, the way we do PRRCD. We have to lift up and grab down the cloud. But then you end up dealing with the diversion on density at the final development plan, mm-hmm. which is a long way along in the process, and developers will be good and dug in by the time they get there. Mm-hmm. So I am a fan of the two-step process, which is they bring the initial development plan to us, and they bring the final to us, and we put them through their paces, particularly on density. Lighting? I'm not sure I care about lighting. Landscaping? Maybe not so much. I could probably live with a final development plan. But that would require you to reach down and pull down the cloud without diversion to the density, which is never going to happen here. So I'm not sure, the cloud approach might work fine. And I don't doubt that if we send 5A the way it is now, that we'll hear about it back from the trustees. But I would rather send 5A to the trustees and ask them to deal with it as a diversion, whether we include the first sentence or not. Right. What I like about the first sentence is it incorporates the other components of the zoning resolution, talking about things like road service levels and other things. We can argue about whether or not it's legally binding, but at least it's there. So I would rather move on with 5A, truthfully, and I can be in the minority, and that's fine. That's why we constitute a group and we vote. And zone the densities into the zoning districts. And if you want to come up with a better way to do it, we can take another swipe at it after the fact. But I would rather send it with the sign amendment.
And I would generally agree with the sentiment that the two-step process when we're talking about these residential developments would definitely be the preferred process. I'm also nervous about going down to a one-step process, so I can do some more research as to whether or not with those overlay zones, if there's still the ability to go through to require that two-step process.
And I feel like timing is of the essence. So research can go on and on and on.
Right.
We were given a mandate by the trustees asking them not to incorporate the entire comprehensive plan by reference, but instead to be specific about the components of the comprehensive plan that we feel should be reflected in the zoning resolution. We talked about last time that the zoning resolution talks about types of housing, and the comprehensive plan talks about geographic boundaries for that housing. And that's the problem. It's a three-dimensional cube, which we have to write on a two-dimensional piece of paper. So I'll open it up to other commentary on that.
I don't think that I have a full grasp of, even after your explanation, I'll have to noodle it a little bit to I think, really understand what it is that, essentially he's saying that there's still a conflict with Article 9. That's why. Is that, in its essence, what the problem is, that there's a conflict with Article 9?
That was one of the concerns raised, that in essence, if you have two different density regulations, you now are not treating all parcels within one given zoning district equally.
Okay. Is there anything that we can change in Article 9 to make them compatible?
I think that, in essence, is the problem. I don't think there is, because you can't specify the geographic areas in the PRD, because I think you would still run into that unequal protection issue. The only way I can see to separate the issue and then to solve the issue is to have different zoning districts with the different densities and do your best to prescribe those districts only in those certain geographic areas, so that way the requirements are still uniform across those areas, but you're still achieving the density restrictions that you're seeking to incorporate.
So there is another alternative, which is we can scrap the zoning resolution as it's written by type of housing and rewrite it as a geographic set of distinctions. Well, I mean, that is the opposite of the problem that's been proposed, which is we have zoning districts by type of property, and we have geographic problems. You can fix that problem in a way that would not be preferable.
Well, once we have these districts, it's hard to, and they actually, a parcel's actually been rezoned to them. It's going to be very difficult to get rid of them. They're pretty much sort of here. Also, we don't have the authority or ability to proactively rezone any property to a planned district. That purely has to be at the election of
Correct. The
property owner or the applicant. So therein lies the constraints we have to work with.
So I thought you nicely handled this piece in here, which is that would suggest that there's only one type of zoning throughout the township, and that you pull down the different overlays into the different parts of the township. And I think that is the complete opposite of the way the township has operated since we've gotten started. So I don't know if I'm prepared to take on that issue. I mean, there are plenty of folks who would encourage us to turn the whole township back to rural residential, one house every 2 acres, and everything else is a non-conforming use. Do that. Everything else is just whatever use it was zoned at. But that's not practical or reasonable, mm-hmm. and we know that. So unless we're going to table this issue and move beyond it, come back to it, I suggest we read Article 5A.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to go through it. I prepared
it. I'm sorry.
It
Bill would like to make a comment, Mr. Chair. Do you want to recognize Bill Bird?
Sure.
And up to the chairman.
It's Bill Bird, 8383 West Shore Drive. This kind of is coming out of nowhere, this overlay thing, but that's with how PRRCD started, and that final development plan never happened, and PRRCD is not an overlay anymore. That was not a well-accepted way of dealing with zoning issues. So I'm not really in favor of that. In terms of this conflict between densities and not treating everyone properly, if you take the 5A and put it into the zoning resolution, that's the density. And I don't know why that 2.2 and 1.8 is in the PRD section to begin with. It makes no sense. You should just eliminate that. I mean, whatever the density is will be in this 5A that you're proposing. I mean, there's no other density things on any other of your other districts except that PRD, so I don't know where that came from or what its purpose was. But if you just take that one sentence out of the PRD, then you don't have a conflict anymore. If there's a density issue, it's in 5A. It's mentioned nowhere else. So there's not a conflict. Everybody's being treated equally. And then finally, this one line right here, eliminating that, I do agree that would show some conflict, because who knows what's in that comp plan. When you do the comp plan, you're really not writing it with all these future developments in mind, and you don't really know what you're saying. However, there are parts in the comp plan right now. There was another emergency that happened 6 months ago where everyone was worried about these densities, and so we kind of redefined that precedent as to being age-restricted development. And so now we've got a sentence in the comprehensive plan that says we're not interested in any density bonuses for age-restricted developments. Now, if you take that out of there, then that sentence comes out of there, and that precedent returns. So that's another issue that if you're going to take that out, then you've got to make sure that you have all the other reasons that it's in there covered. So, I mean, in terms of the business, most of the comp plan stuff is it's just a proof that you are paying attention to your zoning resolution and that you're updating it. It's not really going to cause you legal problems, I don't believe. However, when you do put things in there that you're trying to control and then you eliminate that sentence, then you've got to bring those control issues back into the resolution. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Interestingly enough, you mentioned PRD 5, which is Article 10, And PRD 5 actually says, the lower density planned residential district is designed, is intended to promote flexibility of land development for residential purposes in planning area 5 of, it says, the 2009 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan, because it hasn't been updated. So in other instances, we have tried to take on a section and a boundary and put information and discussion against it. I don't think it's without precedent. So it's rare that Mr. Bird and I would agree on everything. I can't ever remember once it happening, and I agree. So write it down, though. That's the one time. But I think that we need to make a decision about this. I'm sorry, you were taking public comment.
Come on.
My apologies. No.
Just real quick. I think taking that sentence out is your safety valve. It allows you to do the things that the town... I'm sorry, Jim Carter, 4493 South Old 3C Highway. Taking that sentence out is, that's kind of like a safety valve. It's like that allows you to do what you've already done. I would not take that out until you have a review of the zoning resolution and maybe everything is good between the two documents. I think we've got great densities in the comprehensive plan, so I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. The overlay thing, I think right now would be, I mean, that just muddies the waters. I mean, maybe somewhere 5 years from now, we might want to consider it or sometime, but now to get it in before we have, we already have, you know, the two developments have come, before any more developments come, protects you guys, allows you guys to make the decision based on what you know, instead of having maybe be turned over by a legal team or having a developer say, well, legally, I have the right to do 1.8, but they don't have the right to do 1.8 in zoning in areas 4, 2, or 3. So I think putting that in there protects you guys. And I'm very glad that you're also trying to put the densities into a 5A. That's a good idea. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just had a couple points of clarification,
sure,
if you don't mind. The commentary on the PRRCD, I wholeheartedly agree that district has not bore any fruit, which is one of the reasons I deleted it in the alternative draft I put together. I would say that the overlays we're constructing, though, would not have the same feelings as the PRRCD did, because the PRRCD was always purely an option for people in a lot of instances, where it was like, okay, you could go down this path, but we also have sort of this alternative path you can go down, and no one ever went down it for one reason or another. What these overlays would do was basically tie people. It wouldn't be an option. If you wanted to, you can either do a straight zoning subdivision, or you would have to utilize this overlay if you want to do more than just a straight subdivision. Of course, people could always ask for PRD. We can't stop in areas at densities we don't prefer to see them at. We can't stop people from making those applications. But what it would do is give us a lot more teeth to say, no, there's a viable alternative district, overlay district, that we're permitting in this geographic area that you need to be utilizing here. So I think that's how it would differ a little bit from the PRRCD. I agree with Ms. Faulkner. We did establish somewhat of a precedence by doing the PRD5. I'd sort of forgotten about that one because, again, it was one of those, I'm not sure if the language is just not strong enough or if we just have not implemented when people come in with a development plan in planning area 5 that they need to be utilizing that zoning district, because to the best of my knowledge, no one's actually been rezoned to PRD5. I mean, someone can feel free to correct me on that, but I'm not aware of any. There's none on the zoning map.
No, I think it's the same as the PRRCD, though. The problem with that was you only got a pass to a one-step process if you agreed to comply with all the terms of the zoning resolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's not being used. Because nobody wants to comply with the zoning resolution. It's always a discussion around divergence.
Yeah.
Or divergence. Sorry. Got multiple things going on, but divergence. So it's always a discussion about that. It's never about coming in inside of the existing zoning resolution and just doing an upzone. So that's why there were very few takers. A few people tried for PRRCD to bypass that. But I don't see that being any different. I cannot, in my time on the Zoning Commission, remember, other than maybe the Hawk's Nest one, who then had to turn around and get a divergence for size, a proposal without a divergence request.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen.
No.
We officially set the baseline in this township, and everyone negotiates us above that.
That is how it's operated, whether we intend it that way or not. Mm-hmm. And they do that because it's a two-step process, not to us, but they come to us, and then they come to the trustees who have a broader power to look at a zoning application and decide for reasons other than the reasons we have to decide, which is the resolution. They can take into account the greater good or, you know, that people want it or whatever it is. That is their space as the trustees. Our job as a zoning commission is to sort out the rules, make sure the lighting's downcast and their proper number of parking spaces or what have you, and send them our recommendation on that. So I think the reason we don't see a lot of use there is the same difficulty we'll run in with the overlay. We can put it in, but if you don't choose to bring it down exactly as it is, and we have no history of that, we won't necessarily see any utilization. So
yeah, I agree. There would have to be a mechanism in there that would make them more or less mandatory. If you were to wanted to do a plan development in those area, in those specific areas, you would have to utilize that overlay. And I think therein lies the weakness with the prior overlays we've tried to use, is the exact reasons Ms. Faulkner just spoke to, is just the benefit, or for whatever reason, people just have not opted to do them, and they want the divergence, and that's what has driven it. So, and that's what's driven people to PRD. But if, you know, if we do have the ability to strengthen the language to force people into those overlays, you can make the overlays mandatory, but it's difficult when you're doing a plan district, because usually when it's a mandatory overlay, again, you're dealing with a floodplain or something where you're saying, in addition to this, you also have to do this to mitigate any floodplain issues. This is a bit of a different animal here. And then to speak in regards to the PRD conflict, as in regards to Article 5 about striking the density numbers out of Article 9, I do think there could be some concern about still a conflict, because in Section 502A, which I will scroll down to, we'll see each of these, the planning areas basically has a subsection devoted to it. And we can see that by incorporating the recommendations of Chapter 4 of the Comprehensive Plan, we would be establishing PRD densities in Planning Area 1, which would not be consistent with PRD densities in Planning Area. Well, hold on. I may backtrack on that, because I think the comp plan doesn't actually prescribe PRD in Planning Area 4. So I was going to say it would create a conflict between Planning Area 1 and Planning Area 4, because one would have one density and one would have the other, but the PRD in Planning Area 4 actually doesn't even prescribe PRD, or the recommendations for Planning Area 4 doesn't even prescribe PRD, so that would be a non-issue. I'm trying to think if there's any other planning areas besides Planning Area 1 where the recommendation actually prescribes PRD. I'm failing to come up with one off the top of my head. I guess 5 would be the only other area, and I think that calls out the PRD 5 district, not the regular PRD district. So I'm sorry, after all that, reading through it, I do think, because none of the other planning areas prescribe PRD densities, that is an option up to the commission, is to just delete the densities out of Article 9 and refer individuals to Article 5A.
Okay. Sounds good.
So it sounds like we're in general favor of keeping that last sentence under the interpretation section.
Yeah.
Was that the general consensus? So we'll go ahead and add that back in.
The trustees feel differently. They can strike it individually at the time of the amendment.
And then did you want me to go through Article 5A, or did you just want to hit the highlights, Mr. Chairman?
I don't see any need for it unless there's a majority of the board wants to review it again. I mean, most of it's right out of comprehensive plan.
Yeah, with the exception of the first couple of sections under 501A, intent and purpose, and then the added language, which I agree with, which is the continuous utilization of lots already zoned. It takes into account that if you're already here and you're already zoned, you're good.
Right, which is just repetitive in each section.
Yep.
So do we take a formal action on this evening, Joe?
Well, it'll be up to the commission to see if they want to put forth the motion as whether or not to adopt as written. I do have about 3 changes I'd probably recommend to this since I sent it out to you. Number 1, just a formatting thing. The section numbers as currently written, like in section 501 are backwards, the subsections, they should be 501A.01, not 5801.01. So I would change those.
Okay.
In 501A.01, behind 2016 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan, just in parentheses, I'd probably put the plan because that is the terminology I've used throughout the rest of this article to refer to the plan. And then when I was talking to the prosecutor's office, they did mention that if this version was to go forward, in 501A.02, after, let's see, there's a sentence towards the end that talks about the aforementioned planning areas shall be established in the preceding section and all pertinent recommendations associated with those areas shall be incorporated herein. It was advised at the end of that herein, I add, as further detailed in section 502A. So we're pointing people to the specific location as to where those have been incorporated within, so it's not ambiguous.
I'm sorry, can you point to that language out
sure.
to Joe?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I can see it.
Sure. It's if you look at, right, if you see the cursor, I'll try to zoom in a little bit.
It's so up there in the red section.
Yeah.
Second paragraph.
Consistency, the aforementioned planning area shall be established in the preceding section and all pertinent records. I'm sorry, what was the addition?
So at the end of this herein, it would be comma as further detailed in section 502A, comma. They just thought we should be directing people specifically where those items were at, so it wasn't ambiguous as to, well, is it here? Is it in the comprehensive plan? Where am I supposed to be looking? So those were just the three quick edits I saw that I felt like if we were going to move forward tonight, I'd recommend incorporating. So schedule-wise, should there be an initiation motion tonight, and it, should it pass, we'd have to schedule the public hearing for after the date in which regional planning would get this. They'll probably look at this at their meeting that happens right before Thanksgiving, which means your public hearing would have to be late November, early December. I did look at dates today. The only two dates in sort of end November, beginning of December, that are available, that the hall's available, would be Monday, November 27th, and Monday, December 4th. Because there's also a couple other zoning hearings the last week of November, I think December 4th would make more sense.
I'm sorry, what was the other date besides December
27th.
4th? The 27th, which is a Monday. So
and
the
then
trustees,
they're having their trustee meeting on the 29th?
They have their rezoning hearings on the 29th and 30th. They're doing Vinmar on the 29th and a Hawk's Nest on the 30th. So, and then there's also, I think, BZA that Tuesday. So that's just a lot of zoning in 1 week for people.
It is October, but when does Delaware County Regional Planning Commission render their statement?
They typically meet the last Thursday of the month, but it always gets a little skewed when the holidays roll around.
So we'd be hitting that meeting in November?
Yeah, we would hit their November meeting, their next meeting.
And we would expect their answer back in time to have a meaningful discussion on December the 4th?
Yes. I'm going to pull up their calendar real quick. I just want to be 100% certain. So their November meeting would be actually the 30th, so I wouldn't be able to attend that meeting, but we still would get commentary from them even if I wasn't able to attend because I'll be at the trustee zoning hearing.
Okay.
Also, if you do go for it, I think because you have a four-member panel, it may be advisable that you have one of the alternates sit in as your fifth voting member.
Yep.
I'll let the commission decide.
Question for the four of you. When the comp plan was completed, and you guys went through that entire process, what was the original plan to get this into the zoning resolution? Was there to change the densities in each of the districts through the articles?
Nope. It was a long list of things.
It was a long list,
List of things to do.
So by doing this, are we
one part of
this
many?
Huh?
One part of many.
One part of many.
Right. So if we turned around and decided 3 months later we wanted to rewrite this language into an overlay, we could consider that as long as we had not added density opportunities and turned around and took them away. So somebody
yes,
would have to sit there and think about that.
Okay. Yep. Where there is conflict in what's already written in the resolution versus what we're thinking about throwing in here as an addendum, basically, what is saying what is right and what is not right. Where's the wording that says this now supersedes everything that is written before?
There's a general standard in the zoning resolution that basically talks about when the resolution's in conflict with itself, the more strict standard shall apply. That's not the verbatim language, but that's what it more or less says.
So do we then specifically say Article 5A now supersedes all?
We certainly can add that if that's the commission's desire.
That happens by definition with the dating. So once the trustees set the date, we're talking about making a revision to 90302, which is the only place where specific density is discussed in the zoning resolution. So at that point in time, the only place that there'll be any specific density requirements will then exist in 5A.
I think that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Do I have an old version then? There's densities in all of them. In each of the articles.
Read a section.
Huh?
Read a section. Pick a section. Tell us what you're looking at.
So you've got, let's try to go to 9. So 7. So mm-hmm. Article 7, 7, 6. Yeah. You've got in 70504.
Yep.
You've got density. You've got densities in every single one of the articles.
70504.
Determining density or yield in PRRCD.
Multiplying the net, creating a yield plan for conventional 2-acre lots.
Mm-hmm. In Part A, 6 tenths and 7, so they're in each one.
Creating it, correct.
Right.
So, for that section, 70504 talks about determining the density or yield. Applicants shall have two options to establish the legally permitted density. This is a multiplication of how many acres will be used for the density, excluding the parts you don't use to come up with a net developable number. This by itself does not establish the density.
Okay. Does that make sense, Dave? Are you comfortable with that?
You're also sort of stuck in the PRRCD, which unfortunately is the section we're just talking about.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think every question everybody has should be asked. Should not be signing up to vote on or deliver anything you don't fully understand. That's what the meeting is for.
Yeah.
So that is inside the PRRCD section. The only section that talks about a density at all is the maximum density that lays out a specific with and without sewer.
Which is in there.
Is,
and
right,
that's what we're
is in the PRR, is in the Plan Residential District.
Mm-hmm.
PRD 5 mirrors.
It's 90302.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's where you've got 2.2 on 1A.
Right.
Okay.
And we'd be amending that section. PRD 5 is sitting out there. There's some other bits and pieces of things.
Right. So 10.302, we've got density.
10.302. Not 10.302. 10.302 is if you're going to participate in lower density planned residential district.
Right.
Which is a promotion of land development for residential purposes in Planning Area 5, but it does not in of itself limit the density in Planning Area 5 to that number.
No, but if you're applying to have this redistricting.
If you're applying under PRD 5, correct. So what we're talking about is laying over the requirements from the comprehensive plan for every PRD that comes in. So I, as the applicant, get to decide what my application is. I'm not required to do a PRRCD where I can find some density. I'm not required to do a PRD 5. And I think, Joe, your experience here is that they most of them come in under standard PRD provisions.
Mm-hmm.
I want a full look, two-part process, initial and final development plan.
Mm-hmm.
I want the opportunity to get a divergence on anything. Fence height, sign structure, anything you want. How far apart the buildings are, you won't get that by the fire department, but anything you can't get by the fire department is on the table. How tall are light poles? Are they downward reflecting? Anything that isn't sort of reserved to the HOA typically, right? So you're not going to, you could put in your application the color of mailboxes and other stuff. We would just suggest you not, that you reserve that to the HOA rules and keep the zoning office out of that. But a pure PRD says anything goes. All I'm agreeing to is 40% open space. That's basically what I'm doing. I'm going to cluster my homes together rather than spread them out a la suburban residential or rural residential. I'm going to reserve 40% open space. That's all I've agreed to do. Everything else is up to me. Now, there's things about, you know, one story, two story, how many garages, that kind of stuff. That's all sitting in the PRD. So there are rules. I won't be so foolish as to say they're not. But if I wanted to build all the houses with only one garage, I'd be diverging under PRD. I'd come in and go, people only want one garage. They want a giant concrete pad next to their house to park as many cars as they want for a rave. Like, that's what they want. I'm making stuff up. But that's what you'd be diverging. And most things, people don't diverge. Typically, they come in and they put more square footage. Our square footage is a floor. It's actually a really good analogy for what's happening in density. Right? We laugh at anybody who would say, really, you're going to come here and build on land as expensive as this land is, and you're going to try to build a house with smaller square footage than the minimum square footage required in the PRD? We would think that's madness. That's what a floor is, a place that nobody wants to be. And that's what happens with density, which is it becomes the floor where nobody wants to be. And we looked at, when we went through the comprehensive plan, changing those rules. We spent a ton of time before they went to the trustees talking about changing those rules, about density bonuses, about changing the density, about changing density for different types of housing. Do we want condominium rules? To a man, the resident said no. And we had an entire article, and we scrapped it and said, we just don't hear any interest in what you get as a risk-reward analysis for that kind of development. So we walked away from it. And when the trustees got the comprehensive plan, they didn't put anything like that back in, even though there had been votes that suggested that that was okay. And they went back around and they talked about the things that are in the comprehensive plan now, which is we're not interested in age restriction, we're not interested in this. They expounded somewhat in their public comment on what they thought was good and what was not good. So the problem I have is that you won't come under a PRD 5. You won't come under a PRRCD. You will come under PRD, and you will ask for whatever you want. So that's what the, and we normally, we would turn around and look at the comprehensive plan and go, comprehensive plan doesn't say to put it there. And now we've been told not to do that, that that's not enough. So it seems like the answer is to take the same densities we just went through in the comprehensive plan and put them in the zoning resolution. If that's where the force of law is, that's where we would put those. And we're under a mandate from the trustees to do that. We didn't come up with that idea on our own. It's exciting as that would be, right, Mark? So that's what it feels like.
Okay, so just to clarify, 10302 would not be in conflict with 501A, correct?
Because you would come under a PRD 5 application.
So if the only conflict is 90302, why are we adding all of this when we can just change that section?
Because then you have nothing.
Huh?
Then you have nothing still.
Why?
In the rest of the zoning resolution. Because if there is that section doesn't exist in 90302, then there is no density requirement anywhere in the zoning resolution. We have always looked to the comprehensive plan for the density components. We have always looked there. So then you have nothing. Now you don't even have a 2.2 restriction. You have whatever you want to bring restriction.
If you can get a rezone to the other non-PRD.
I don't understand that statement.
No, because if your density is already in here on 903, why don't you just change that one? If you're saying you can get into anything else and go above that, that means you get a rezone to the other zoning districts.
Because every part of the township has different types of housing in it. That's right. What we were talking about, the layers. So where you're physically located in the township is how the comprehensive plan thinks about density. And what you live in the type of housing you're trying to build, is the way the zoning resolution looks at density. Mm-hmm. So how do you know what types of housing you allow in a district? Otherwise, all types of housing and all type development in all districts. In the absence of the Genoa Township zoning resolution, there is actually, other than PRD 5, there's actually no limitation on anything to be built in any type of development in any geographic location. Anywhere I want to put a PRD down, I can. And there was more in the comprehensive plan than just, hey, if you want to put a PRD here, here's how we want you to zone it. It was, here are places where PRDs belong. Here are places where rural residential belongs. Here's where commercial belongs. Mm-hmm. And there are boxes around those places denominated by the directional spaces. In the absence of that, you just have development. Mm-hmm. Anywhere anyone wants to put it, subject to the rules in the zoning resolution. So the two go together. They're just not drafted in the same way. So we're dealing with that. So I'm a fan of putting in the boundaries. But that's the piece we're missing.
The piece that you may have that say you're restricted.
Pardon?
Then that goes back to your original comment of whether or not that's too restrictive or not for the...
The concern was having basically two different density numbers in the same zoning district. That's in essence what, to boil it down, was... I think really the issue is,
which is because the document is constructed to look first at the type of housing, and then we add this second at where the housing is located. To which my comment was, great, we'll turn it on end. We'll look at where you live first, and then we'll look at the housing in it. We can flip the zoning resolution so that it takes that for priority. We never have because the two documents work together. But we won't do that tonight.
Yeah, it seems a little outside the scope of what we originally had discussed.
Well, I'm just saying, you presented the problem in a particular way. I can flip the problem and make it different. So, but I think this is the shorter version of getting to an immediate request. And if we want to go back and research and think about how we want to structure that and do it in a way you like better, then we've got time to do that. I think we were asked specifically to respond to this. We're holding up the signs amendment specifically to respond to this. If we're not going to respond to this, we should send the signs amendments on. Because those have a specific need in the Supreme Court. But I don't think we've fulfilled the mandate we've been requested.
I would say, based off of sort of the discussions we're having this evening, if we do decide to put forth one or both, I guess staff's recommendation would be maybe to do two different motions, so that way if one amendment gets bogged down with any kind of discussion, particularly this is the one I would think would get slowed up by anything. We've sort of talked about the signs amendment sort of is what it is. We're addressing just a lot of legal issues at that point. It doesn't slow down the signs from proceeding forward. That way the trustees get them both at the same time. They could have maybe even the hearings the same night, but again, if one has to get continued, it's not holding up the other one.
That.
But certainly go whatever direction. I just think that's my two cents on looking ahead of potential issues.
I agree. I think that makes sense.
And you could have your hearings on both of them, again, the same evening. We'd have to do one and the other, just like a rezoning case, though. We'd have to close out one and then open the hearing for the second.
Well, we have a public meeting in between that, so I guess we better get the public meeting sorted if there's anything to do. Because we're not at a stage of initiating anyway. We need another public meeting. Whatever this is.
Any further discussion?
I think that this is in response to specifically what the trustees asked us to do. Obviously, there's something unexpected that came from the prosecutor's office. We can push this forward. You can make your recommendations to the trustees. If they decide they want to go a different route, then they can vote on that, even send it back to us, and we can revisit. But I think this is at the very least, a stopgap.
And the recommendation that I'd go forward would be the commission's recommendation. I would just present your recommendation and any other opinions I have received legally. Staff wouldn't render a official recommendation on one way or the other.
Mr. Shaver is correct, though. If we're going to move forward with anything tonight, you need to select one of your alternates to sit on the board.
David?
So I'll let the record show that Mr. Leff is sitting as a voting member.
Do I have a motion?
So we need the motion vote.
You can either make a motion and include both of them together in one single motion under one single case file, or you could make two motions to separate them. They would each get different case files. They'd be two separate hearings at that point.
No, that's it.
We're just making a straight motion.
I provided Ms. Faulkner the script from September that has the signs initiation.
Is 2017-06 still available?
Yes. In fact, it might be 2017-05
is what you designated the signed code amendment. If
yes,
do
yes.
Two,
the signs would be 05. Yes, correct. Signs would be 05, and any other additional things would be 06 this evening. On the signs, we probably should just specify the date of the last draft, which was...
You have it on here. Can I use that?
September 5th, is that the one you had?
Yep. Did we make any revisions on September 11th?
No, we decided not, because the comp plan issue came up and we decided to hold off and didn't have any further discussion.
I think we're prepared to pass them both in one motion, huh?
Do you want to do them as one ZC?
Yeah.
Okay. Then they have to look at them as one ZC. You take a swipe at this, and you guys can chime in. Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate amendments to Article 4 and definitions and Article 18 sign standards dated September 5th, 2017, and amendments as new Article 5A dated October 30th, 2017, inclusive of adjustments to document the 2016 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan as the plan. Include in section 501A02, I think I've got that right, the addition of language in the last sentence to read as followed. In order to provide for consistency with the 2016 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan, the aforementioned planning areas shall be established in the preceding section, and all pertinent recommendations associated with those areas shall be incorporated herein as set forth in section 502A and shall be further enforceable in accordance with section 104. In addition, the amendment of section 90302 of the zoning resolution to read as follows: the density of land use within a capital P planned, capital R residential, capital D district shall be as reflected in Article 5A, period, and then other adjustments as necessary for numbering consistency as set forth by the zoning director this evening. To be known as ZC 2017-05, sign code and density amendment. Subsequent to approval to initiate, a copy of this amendment will be sent to the Delaware County Regional Planning Commission and Delaware County Prosecutor's Office for comment. And a public hearing will be scheduled and advertised for December 4th, 2017.
And we would need the time and place as part of that motion.
To be held at the Genoa Township Meeting Hall at 7 p.m.
A second.
Joe, take a vote.
Ms. Faulkner?
Yes.
Ms. Pasarek?
Yes.
Mr. Priebe?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
I don't think we have anything else on the agenda. Next meeting will be, looks like
November 13th?
Correct. Right. We have no applications, pending applications, and it appears we're not going to have a hearing until the 4th, so I'll leave it up to the commission as to whether or not they feel like there's a need to have that meeting.
Well, in light of that information, any discussion on whether we...
I make a motion to cancel the meeting on November 13th in favor of the one we'll be having on December the 4th.
I will second that motion.
Okay.
You can do that all in favor by aye if you choose, sir.
And I guess we'll play December 11th by ear.
December 4th?
I'm sorry, did we do a roll call?
Scheduled for December 11th.
Yeah, let's take a vote on
that. Did we do a roll call on
that? I'm sorry, can we go ahead?
Ms. Faulkner?
Yes.
Ms. Pastrak?
Yes.
Mr. Preeby?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz? And just for clarification, that was the roll call vote on the motion to cancel the November 3rd.
Cancel the meeting. Mm-hmm.
And then correct, yes, we have the December 11th meeting, at which point we can make a decision later, depending if we get an application.
The December 4th meeting?
What's that?
Can we make that decision on the December 4th meeting, or is that
you? Yeah, you certainly could.
Okay, let's put it on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, we'll know by then if we have any applications.
Right.
You'll know well in advance. I'll email you out in the next, by the when the deadline rolls around, which I'm not sure I have. No, just for clarification, the meeting on the 4th is an additional meeting to the one that's scheduled for December 11th. So as of right now, the December 11th meeting would still be scheduled to occur unless the commission should decide otherwise.
Correct.
Right, but what if the 4th does the timing issue? We shouldn't do that on the 11th? Or?
I mean, you could. I mean, well, we already scheduled the hearing for the 4th, so...
cancel the 11th.
I think you run into some timing issues.
Applications come in, right?
I think you, yes, in case you get applications, you also would run into some timing issues with the ORC if you prolong the hearing date too far out.
Yeah.
So the 4th is probably the best bet.
Okay. A motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Meeting adjourned at 8:07 p.m.